Where did we come from? How did life begin? Right? This is a question that's asked by so many people. It's asked by just about everyone. It's asked by the youngest of children, who often want to know where they came from, where life began. It's a question that's asked by the most intellectual of scholars. The beginning of all things is studied by scientists. It's something that is debated by philosophers, and it's something that's even discussed within the church. We want to know where the world came from, and we want to know how life began. Now, most of you, I imagine, sitting out here today, you know what the Bible says about this. Our Old Testament lesson that I read to you a little bit ago from Genesis chapter 1 is very familiar. In fact, it's probably one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture. Even if they don't go to church on a regular basis, and even if they don't read the Bible on their own, in their own time, it seems that most people have at least heard the creation account from Genesis chapter 1. However, that being said, even though it is so well known, it's also probably one of the most controversial passages in all of Scripture. There are some who believe that the Bible's teaching on this subject is completely wrong, and that those who hold to these beliefs are naive. There are some who think that the opening passages of Scripture are symbolic or even poetic. And so even though they read it, and they think of it as God's word, they interpret it in light of science. They interpret it in light of modern teaching. And then, of course, there are some, like myself, who take it very literally, who believe in a literal six-day creation, just as we read it in Genesis chapter 1. And this is something that our kids are being confronted with on a daily basis, whether we realize it or not, and even whether they realize it or not. Even if they come to church, and even if they come to Sunday school where they are taught about creation from a biblical perspective, they are encountering another perspective in our schools and in the world today. Because of the effort to keep God out of the education system, our kids are being taught from a largely evolutionistic or materialistic mindset. They're being taught, for example, that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago before man. They're being taught that the landscape of our world was formed by rivers and glaciers over a period of millions of years. They're being taught that animals and man evolved from the lowest forms of life. And they're being taught that our universe was created by the Big Bang. And this is fed to them from many other sources as well, besides their school textbooks. It's the mindset we see whenever we take our kids into a museum, or even when we take them to national parks and read those little plaques that are posted all over the place. This is the mindset that we run into on the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. You know, even though I love those channels, when I run into these shows, they just frustrate me to no end, and I have to turn them off. And this is even the mindset of many children's books today. Never is creation mentioned, never is God brought into the equation. And we're so used to hearing these things, because many of us have grown up with them as well. I know this is what I was taught growing up in school. We don't even realize that many of these teachings are completely inconsistent with the message of the Bible. For example, one of the things our children are being told is that matter, you know, that makes up our universe, that it's eternal, that it's been here forever. It's always existed. It had no beginning, and it's this matter that became the universe as we know it. It's this matter that exploded in the Big Bang a long time ago, forming the planets and the stars. But the Bible tells us something very different. Scripture tells us that everything in creation had a beginning. It tells us that everything in creation, there was a starting point for it. God is the only thing. He is the only person who is eternal. And it tells us that all things have come from Him. It tells us that all things are the work of His hands. I can't remember where I heard it, but I like how somebody once put it a long time ago. Going back to that verse, Genesis 1:1, he says, you know, the Bible teaches in the beginning God, while evolutionists tell us in the beginning dirt. You know, we say that God has always existed and that everything in creation has come from Him, while science tells us today that matter has always existed and that everything in the universe has come from it, that everything in the universe has spontaneously evolved from it. So again, a very different mindset. Another inconsistency we see is that in Genesis 1, we read that God created light before he created the sun. Did you ever notice that? God created light on day 1 and he created the sun on day 4. So according to Scripture, there were several days in the beginning where there was light before there was sun. Now in our natural scientific way of thinking, this doesn't work, does it? Light comes from the sun. Therefore, the sun had to exist before light. But Scripture teaches something very different. And we know that with God, it is absolutely possible to have light without the sun. God is all-powerful. God can do anything that he desires to do. We're even told in Revelation, in chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 23, and in chapter 22, verse 4, that in the new earth that God brings forth at the end of the age, there will be no sun. Kind of interesting, isn't it? We are told that God and the Lamb will be the light in this new... Well, my battery's going in and out. We'll see how that goes, I guess. But, okay, we're back on for now. Let's see here. Now I got to find where I was. Science, of course, teaches that life came about apart from God. It teaches that life was formed by the random combination of elements and chemicals over the centuries. And Scripture teaches us that life came only from God, that life was created by him, and that we're completely dependent on him. We read that God formed the first man and the first woman. We read how God breathed into man that breath of life. Scripture tells us that going from day to day, should I just use this mic? All right. We'll just go with this one. That it's God who keeps us going from day to day, and it tells us that we're dependent upon God for life in this world as well as for eternal life. According to Scripture, land animals were made by God on day 6, right? Just like man was. And so to teach that some animals like dinosaurs and alligators and even cockroaches have been around for millions of years before man, that goes against the plain reading of Scripture. The Bible teaches that death didn't enter the world until after sin. It teaches that death resulted from sin. And I think most, if not all of you, remember the story of Adam and Eve way back in the book of Genesis. You remember how they broke God's command, and after that, God told them, because you have sinned, you will die. Death was the punishment of their sin. The Bible teaches us that death is a curse placed upon mankind because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. So in other words, death is something that we have earned by our sin. It's something that we deserve because of our sin. Science, on the other hand, teaches us that death was in the world for millions of years before man even came into existence. It teaches that all of these earlier life forms had to live and die, live and die, live and die over the centuries as it evolved until we came to man. And then it's only after man came into the picture that sin could occur. So again, the Bible says sin before death, while science says death before sin. Death could not be the consequence of sin. It couldn't be the result of sin if it was in the world before sin. And not only does this contradict the creation account, I don't know if you've thought about this before, but it actually undermines the whole message of the gospel. It contradicts the truth that because of Jesus, because he paid the penalty of our sin, death will one day be a thing of the past. If death is not the result of sin, then Jesus' atonement will have no effect on death whatsoever. It will have no power to free us from death. And I don't know about you, but this leaves me completely without hope if that is the case. So as we look through the creation account, we see that it's completely at odds with the teaching of our society today. It's at odds with the teaching of our schools and our universities. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do we, as people who claim to be followers of Christ, do we hold to Scripture or science? Do we understand Scripture in light of science, Or do we understand science in light of God's word? And this is a very important question because it tells us which is the greater authority to us as individuals. If science is right, then the Bible is obviously wrong in some places. It's not completely true. But if the Bible is completely true, as we believe and teach in the AFLC and here at Ebenezer, then science has some things wrong. And that being said, I realize that there are many people in the church today who try to merge the two. They think it's possible to blend the creation account with science and with the theory of evolution. They say that there is a God who made all things, but they believe that God created everything through the process of evolution. But as we have already seen, there are too many inconsistencies for this to be true. You have to deny so many parts of Scripture. You have to explain them away to make it all work. You have to conclude that Genesis 1 is not a literal account of creation, but merely a story meant to tell us that God was involved in the work of creation. Here's another case in point. Some people will tell us that the word day in Genesis 1 could represent millions of years, right? I'm sure many of you have heard that before. So the 6 days of creation in Genesis could refer to millions or even billions of years. And so so this allows time for people to squeeze evolution in there, to say that God created everything through the process of evolution. But of course, this does not explain away all of the inconsistencies we just talked about. It just enables them to get evolution in there. But as we read the creation account from Scripture, this does not appear to be the case at all. You know, while it is true that as we look at the Bible, symbolic language is often used, and while it's true that in some places the measurement of days is symbolic, it's not necessarily the case here. We do see this in books like Daniel and Revelation, where visions of the end times were given to God's people. But Genesis is not this kind of a book. Genesis is a historical book. And so this would seem to indicate that when it speaks of a day, it means a literal day. Not to mention the fact that as we read through each day of creation, the account concludes by saying there was evening and there was morning the first day. There was evening and morning the second day. There was evening and there was morning the third day. And this shows that the different days came from the cycle of morning and evening, just as we do it today in our own day and age. Now, as people of faith, we have to look to the Word of God as the source of our beliefs. We need to look to the plain understanding of God's Word to help us understand what He is saying and not try to dance around it. And what does Scripture tell us? What does our Old Testament lesson for today tell us? It tells us, first of all, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we've briefly alluded to them, but there are a couple of important truths contained in this very simple passage. First of all, it tells us that God is eternal. It tells us that God has always existed. He was there in the beginning before all things were made. And it also tells us that all things came from Him. You know, many times people ask where God came from. They ask when God's life began. Well, the answer is that, you know, He has always been. There was no beginning to God. He has always existed. He had no beginning and He will have no end. And everything else has come from Him. God created all things. God made, as we see in our lesson, the heavens and the earth. Now, the heavens being spoken of here are not referring to the home of God as we tend to think of them in our world today. It's referring to the sky. It's referring to space. And so this is telling us that God made not only the earth, but the entire universe. God made everything that exists. Heaven and earth have not always been there. They were made by God. As we look at our text, we see that God's first creative act, it resulted in shapeless matter that He then took and arranged throughout the week of creation. And this is what's being referred to in verse 2 of our lesson. We are told in this verse that the earth was without form, and it was void, and that darkness was over the face of the deep. So at this point in the creative work, the earth had no form and no shape. It was empty. But then through the 6 days of creation, God worked in this chaos and brought order to it And he made the world as we know it today. And then we see how he did this. We see how he made all things. God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. We see this pattern repeated throughout all of the other days of creation as well. God simply spoke everything into existence. Now again, some people think that this is just symbolic. They think that it's too simplistic. They think that there had to be more to it. But this is confirmed by other passages of Scripture as well. For example, if we look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, we read there, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." So here it is confirmed to us that everything that exists was made by the word of God, by the very command of God. And again, it tells us that matter did not exist beforehand, because everything that was made came from that which is unseen. It came from the word of God. We see this again in the book of 2 Peter. If you flip a few pages over, 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 5. And I'm starting partway through the verse, but it tells us, "The heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God." And so again, it confirms to us that everything was made by the power of God's word. And even though it's hard for us to understand and it's hard for us to fathom, that is what Scripture teaches us. Now, our text for this morning deals only with the first day of creation, but we see in it that after God made the light, he declared that the light was good. And again, this phrase is repeated throughout each of the days of creation. After God did his work that day, he declared that his work was good. And as we come to the end of the creation account in verse 31, we are told that everything God made was very good. And this tells us that there was nothing bad, there was nothing wrong in that which God created. And again, this creates problems for people today, because as we look at our world, we see all kinds of problems. And then we ask why God would make such a thing, why he would have created things in this way. You know, why would God make tornadoes like the one that hit Northwood a few years ago, the one that hit Ebenezer? Why would he make hurricanes and tsunamis, which are responsible for taking so much life? Why would he make devastating earthquakes, which swallow up so much of that which man has made? Why would the animals that he created be so threatening to us? Why would God allow famines that choke off the food supply and cause people to starve? Why would God make people to be as wicked as they are in our world today? Well, according to the Bible, all of the evil that we see in the world today is here because of sin. God didn't make it to be this way. He made everything to be good. But when sin entered into the world, everything changed at that point. With the entrance of sin came suffering. With the entrance of sin came death. These things, you see, are the consequences of sin. So as we think about creation, as we think about the beginning of all things, some of you may even be wondering, why does this even matter? Why does it matter to my life if I was made by God or if I evolved from the primordial soup? You might not see the difference. You don't think it matters what other people believe about the beginning of all things. And even many Christians insist that it doesn't matter. They say it doesn't matter because it's not our belief about creation that saves us. We're saved through faith in Jesus. And you know what? This is absolutely true. However, they fail to realize that our understanding of creation has a huge impact on both our life and also our faith. First of all, as I've already pointed out, our understanding of creation affects how we think of the rest of Scripture. If our kids learn, and if we believe that the creation account is not true, if we believe that we can dismiss those parts of the Bible that don't make sense to us, if we learn that science is more reliable than Scripture, then there's no reason for us to believe the rest of it either. There's no reason for us to believe that God came into the flesh. There's no reason for us to believe that by his death, Jesus paid the penalty of our sins. There's no reason for us to believe that he is the only way of salvation. If we can't trust what the Bible says when it comes to creation, then how can we trust what it says when it comes to salvation? The Bible is either true or it's not true. We can either believe it or we can disbelieve it. Our understanding of creation also affects the way we view our relationship with God. If we were created by God, then we belong to God. We are his. If we were created by God, then we are under his authority. And this is what Scripture teaches us. But if we believe differently, if we believe that we evolved from pre-existing matter, then our whole mindset is different. If I came to be just out of pure luck, then I am my own man and you're your own person. And it doesn't matter what I do, and it doesn't matter what you do. There is no source of morality, or there is no right form of judgment. It's all relative. We have no reason to repent. We have no reason to love people. We have no reason to live according to the teaching of Scripture. Our understanding of Scripture or of creation also affects our understanding of the meaning of life. If we were created by God, then we know that there is a purpose in our being here. We know that God made us and that he made us for a reason. But if we are the product of random chance, if life just spontaneously came to be, then we have no purpose in life. There is no meaning in our life. We're simply here and then we die. There's nothing more to it. In the long run, it doesn't matter that you and I have ever existed, and it doesn't matter that we die. Our understanding of creation affects our hope. If we were created by God, if our universe was made by God, then we know that we are dependent upon that God for everything in this life and also in the life to come. And because of this, we look to him for life. We depend upon him to provide for us life and everything else that we need. But if we are the product of chance, if we are here only because of the survival of the fittest, then we can only hope that nothing stronger comes along down the road to wipe us out. We can only depend upon dumb luck for our existence. So as we can see, as we think through this, our understanding of creation is no small matter. It has major implications for us, for our life, and for our faith. So we must look not to the wisdom of man as we try to make these discoveries. We must look to the Lord first and foremost to give us a proper understanding of these things. And so as we close today, I want to leave you with this. What do you think about the origin of all things? In what do you trust is the foundation of your understanding? Do you tell your children that they have been formed by God? Do you teach them that they evolved from lifeless goo? Do you point them to the explanation of scientists? Or do you point them to the explanation of Scripture? These are very important things for us to consider and ask ourselves as we seek to follow the Lord, as we seek to raise our children in faith, and as we strive as the church to reach out to others with the truth. Amen.